Welcome to the Legacy and Faith Show, featuring estate and tax attorney Paul Grant. The Legacy and Faith Show is about the journey of discovering how to create plans that protect wealth and family values for generations. And now the host of the Legacy and Faith Show, Paul Grant.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, the Legacy and Faith Show with Paul Grant. This week, Paul, looking at the subject of the resurrection and what has the resurrection accomplished for us as believers as we're into this Easter season. I'm just kind of sitting back and being blessed last episode in this one, I think, here. Paul, was you share with us?
Yeah, that's right. So last week, we took a peek into some different reasons why Jesus came. We found out that he came to seek and save the lost, and he came to call all men unto repentance. And also that in 1 John, that he was, what is it, 1 John 3:8. That's the scripture. That's what I wanted. I knew it was in here someplace. And that also Christ came so that he would destroy the works of the enemy. He would destroy the works of the devil. And then we ended up in Revelations 5:12. And, you know, maybe not so dissimilar to pastors out there that are doing this every week. Really, I think what a lot of my journey of when I take time out of discussing estate planning, it's really because I'm being led on a journey personally. I'm being led on a journey about my own faith, about how I walk this world and how I demonstrate the goodness and the mercy and the loving kindness of our Father, because that's what draws all men unto repentance. And so, I have been looking and focusing personally at Revelations 5:12 as of late. And so, therefore, guess what? You get to hear about Revelations 5:12 because that's what I've been focusing on. But it's such a powerful scripture, and specifically as we lead into Easter, like Mark said, that it's a great time to stop and really focus on not just the mechanics of maybe what Jesus did and the road that he did, or that we threw out palms on for him and that he died on. And in other words, the mechanics of these are the steps and just reading a story. But instead, I want to take a moment to look at what we were given as a full redemption package because of Easter, because he was faithful to the cross, because he endured the cross for our salvation. Salvation means in trueness, nothing missing and nothing broken. It really means that we have been fully and completely healed and brought into wholeness because of that work. And in Revelations 5:12, it says that a loud voice, which were tens of thousands of angels, saying, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing." So that word "receive" means to take a hold of. It means to seize. And so the Lamb that was slain, he seized power. He seized riches. He seized wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And so we looked at the word power a little bit last week. And now we come to one of my favorite topics, which is wealth. And well, of course, I'm an estate planner. So of course, I spend a lot of time looking at wealth, at looking at how to appropriately and biblically pass wealth, how to take what we have earned in this lifetime and make sure that not just that it's given to the right people, but that it is received in a way that can be continually used for the purposes of the kingdom. That's my passion. That's my heart. And so wealth is a large part of my life. It's I've done a lot of studying in the Word concerning wealth. I deal with it on a daily basis. And so it's just a part of my DNA. So let's take a peek here at wealth, because this scripture here, Revelations 5:12, says that Jesus was worthy, the Lamb was worthy, and he seized wealth. Now, that word wealth at that place means wealth. I looked it up in the Greek. It means abundance. It means monetary abundance. So I think as Christians, we have a sneaky way of trying to push away monetary wealth whenever the Bible talks about it to say, oh, well, really, that's just a metaphor to be spiritual wealth. You know, I'm supposed to leave a spiritual legacy. I don't agree. I believe that wealth is actually supposed to be wealth. It is talking about the things of this earth passing through our hands. Now, why does it pass through our hands? Because it is to build the kingdom of God. As a matter of fact, we'll go there first. Deuteronomy 8:18. But remember the Lord your God, for it is he that has given you power to get wealth or to produce wealth. Again, that is a physical, on this earth type of wealth that we would all consider. But here it is. But let's not forget the last part of that scripture, which is that he may establish his covenant, which he has promised to your father. So in other words, wealth is designed to be passed through our hands instead of our own storehouses being built. I don't believe God has any issue whatsoever in you having a nice car, living in a nice house, having a 401k, having things that are built within your own bank accounts, within your own investment accounts, and having actual wealth. Where the line begins to get fuzzy is when that is the purpose, is to build your store barns. When the purpose is to say, I am going to build my own stuff. As a matter of fact, in Luke, we have a parable about that exact thing to where a rich man said, I'm going to. And if you go through and count the number of I's in that portion of scripture, and then at the end it said, you fool, for your life is now required of you, and who is going to now have what you've spent, what you've built up? And it's very interesting because at the very end of there, it doesn't say that God said, what I have given you. It says, what you have built up. And so we see the wrong perspective of money in that parable, which is wealth to build my own barnyards, but to build my own storehouse so that I can retire and take it easy. That was the mentality of that individual. Versus in Deuteronomy 8:18, God says, I am going to give you wealth. I'm going to bless you so that you can have wealth, so that my covenant can be established in the earth. Do you know that we're under a covenant still? It's just not the old covenant, it's the new covenant. It's the new covenant that Christ paid the price for on the cross. It is a better covenant, and that covenant needs funds to be able to be given out into the world. The church would stop if we, as the body, didn't make money. So God is not afraid of wealth. As a matter of fact, his streets are paved with gold. I don't think he has any problem with wealth. It's the attitude that we have towards that wealth. Are we going to hold it, or are we going to be a conduit so that God can continue to establish his covenant on the earth? If you have a problem with money, you can give it all to me. I know what to do with it. It's not a problem. All right. So Christ in Revelations 5:12 regained wealth, monetary, physical money. So I want to take a quick peek because I could go on and on. I could create show after show about this topic, about biblical wealth and the beauty of having wealth in your hands so that you can be responsive for every good work that Christ would call you to. Yeah, have you ever had that moment to where, I hear about this ministry. I wish so much I could give something to it. And you look at your checkbook and it's just been a bad month. How does that make you feel? See, God wants us to have more than enough so that when we see that, when we feel that compulsion, we can go, I have it to give. That's the beauty of why he wants us to have wealth. That's why he won back the wealth of this earth, so that we can be a blessing to build the kingdom of God, not so that we can hold on to it. I believe that's a proper perspective of wealth. And it's a proper perspective that, yes, by faith, you can be blessed. God will bless the work of your hand. And in Mark 10, It's the rich young ruler. And he walked away sad when Jesus said, well, I have your solution. Just give everything that you have to the poor and come and follow me. So again, I think sometimes we see that and we go, see, Jesus didn't want us to have wealth. No, he was dealing with a very specific person with a very specific heart issue. I am guessing. So this is a total guess because you know what? We're even guessing if we say that Jesus' intent was, I don't want you to have wealth, because the scripture doesn't say why he specifically gave this person that command or that word. Now, I really do think that it was a specific word to that person. I don't think it was a general statement over all of Christianity. Give it all away. But this young rich ruler had gained everything that he had through an earthly system. And Jesus wanted, what I believe, to call him to a different way, which is come and learn about the way that the kingdom operates. Follow me so I can teach you this, and you will be restored in what you have given away so that you can use it with the right perspective. So I think that God is about the perspective of wealth, not about wealth itself. It's just a tool. It's like anything. I jump in a car. It doesn't matter if it's a 1979 Datsun. Do you remember Datsuns? I do. My parents had one. I can tell you stories about purple Datsuns, but I won't. And I don't think that God really cares if you have a $100,000 Tesla, because it's just a tool to get you from point A to point B. It's a tool. And as a matter of fact, Judas Iscariot, when he looked at Martha's offering, said, oh, that oil that was poured over Jesus as his pre-burial offering, that could have been sold. That's the mentality of a religious person. That's the accuser to say, but don't use it in that way. Okay, so the purpose then for wealth that was captured by Christ is that we can build the kingdom of God, that we can proliferate. Did I say that right? Proliferate? Yeah, I think I said an L too soon. But, you know, there you go. I'm not perfect either, especially in English. That the word can go throughout the earth, and that every tribe, every tongue can hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. It takes money to do that. And so God's purposes with wealth is to give it to you. His purpose is that you would use it and be generous on every occasion, is what the word says. Be generous with it. We cross a line when our hearts begin to build it for our purposes, when we begin to hoard it, when we can just take it easy and begin to rest. No, wealth is a tool. It is a good tool. And it's a tool that God will bless his body with so that the gospel can go forth. So when we come back, we'll start looking at a little bit more of Revelations 5:12. We'll end up this portion of the scripture. And just as we enter into Easter, I want to encourage you that you are intended to live a victorious life. You are intended and created to be empowered by the Holy Spirit so that God's manifested glory can be given to a dying world.
Some of the heart of Paul Grant this week on the Legacy and Faith Show, focusing on the faith aspect of our show. We'll return with more in just a moment.
Hi, this is Paul Grant with the Legacy and Faith Show. Hosea 4:6 says, my people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. God's people need to be fully prepared in managing their finances and ensuring that their wealth is properly transferred. It is our passion to bring this knowledge to the body of Christ. If your church would benefit from having a financial and estate session that is biblically based, then I encourage you to reach out to us so that we can help design and implement a specific and strategic session for your church. Or if you are interested in estate planning services, then I likewise encourage you to reach out to us. You can go to legacyandfaith.com and receive all the information you need. Again, go to legacyandfaith.com.
Your photos, slides, scrapbooks, and home movies are invaluable and irreplaceable. Barry Kenny here with the Bear Services. Call us to save them as digital files to be stored electronically and shared liberally. We will even come to you so they stay in your possession. Go to thebearservices.com for more information. That's TheBearServices.com.
We now return to the Legacy and Faith Show, featuring estate and tax attorney Paul Grant, and continue today's practical discussion to apply biblical principles for kingdom purposes.
Definitely applying those biblical principles this week on the Legacy and Faith Show, kind of a resurrecting of your ideas, perhaps, of estate planning and finances and what we have for us as Christians because of Easter and this resurrection season. Paul Grant continuing.
Yeah, and it's really just that the power of the cross is that we are to be made whole and full. And so in that, it means that our financial life is healthy. Our bodies are healthy. Our mental health is healthy. Our emotional health. There's not anything outside of our lives that we experience that God does not want to touch and bring health to. That is the fullness of the cross. He has given us all power and all authority so that we can overcome this earth. And so I just want this to be an encouraging word as we look at Revelation 5:12. But we're going to continue on here. We're going to continue on with some of the other things. So after wealth came wisdom. And so Christ has won back wisdom for us because he is wisdom. James 1:5 says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask God, who has given liberally to all men without judgment, and it shall be given to him. So in other words, if you are lacking wisdom, God, the one who is wisdom, the one who is all wisdom, is available to give you exactly what you need. He doesn't hide things from you. As a matter of fact, we have to take a very quick detour here because it is imperative that we understand that God is good. Because if you don't believe that God is good, then you might believe that he is going to withhold from you. Then you might believe that this is just your lot in life, that this is just the way it's going to be. But I am here to proclaim to you that God is good. It is exactly who he is. He cannot be anything other than good to you. And so Psalms 23:6, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Another Psalms, the Lord is good to all. His tender mercies are over the works of his mercies are over all his works. My eyes started to skip to another one. So God is good. And if we don't have that as the very premise and as the very basis of who we are, then it is going to be very difficult to believe that this scripture, Revelation 5:12, is yours. So wisdom, God will give you wisdom if you ask for it because he is wisdom. In 1 Corinthians 1:30, you are in Christ who became for us wisdom from God, our righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. Therefore, as it is written, he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. So in other words, I'm not doing any of this. This is all to be glory to God because without Christ, I am nothing. So Jesus Christ is our wisdom. In 1 Corinthians 2:7, it goes on, 1 Corinthians 2:7, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which is God ordained before the world unto our glory. So that hidden wisdom means it's concealed away. It's not revealed yet. And what's interesting is this is after Christ rose from the dead. So there's more hidden wisdom. In other words, the all-powerful God who sees everything, he knows your past, he knows your current present, he knows your future, and he is willing to give you hidden wisdom when you seek him out. James 1:5 says that if you ask, he will liberally give it to you, and he is not going to judge you for whether you've been strong, whether you've been weak lately. He wants to set you on a course to set you up for victory. And wisdom is necessary for us to have victory in Jesus Christ. How about strength? Well, Philippians 4:13, a scripture that maybe most of us know. It says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Ephesians 6:10 says, "Finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." 2 Corinthians 12:9, he said unto Paul, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." Where do you need strength in your life? That is why Christ dwells in us, is to give us strength. As a matter of fact, many of us, I think, misinterpret what God is going to do. We think, oh, God is going to make money appear. Oh, God is going to heal me down the road. Oh, God is going to, God is going to. That has been given to you, all authority. And this strength is talking about the strength within you so that you can continue your journey of faith, believing upon the promises of God that he has given you so that you can receive them and so that their full manifestation of God's glory can be given into your life and that by that your testimony can go forth and bring other people into the kingdom of God. Strength is a critical factor in our Christian walk, and it was won back on the cross. In Revelations 5:12, strength was seized by Christ for what? For himself? No, so that that can be given to us because he dwells within us. So strength is also a part of what we have received by the cross. Strength so that we can continue in his mercy. Strength so that we can have an effect on this dying world. What else? Honor and glory were given. Strength, honor, and glory. So honor and glory. I want to take a quick peek into this. I think my time is going to be running out here very quickly, so we're going to get to this very quickly.
Got about 4 minutes?
4 minutes. So that's what I said. Time is running out because I know how to talk. So look, if we go to Hebrews 2 in verse 7, well, actually, we'll start in 6. It says, "What is man that you are mindful of him, or the son of man that you have visited him?" Verse 7, Hebrews 2, 7. "You made him, man, a little lower than the angels, and you crowned him with glory and with honor." And we just saw those exact two words back in Revelation 5:12, that Christ seized, he gained a hold of glory and honor. Well, why in the world do we need glory and honor when man was already crowned with glory and honor here in Hebrews 2:7? Well, because this glory and honor was given to Adam. When God created Adam and put him into the garden, he put on him a crown of glory and honor. That glory was his position, and the honor is God's authority. So the signet ring of authority and the ability, the position of his royalty was given by that crown. But yet Adam and Eve gave that away. When they were tempted, they turned their faith away from what God said that they were, and they put their faith back into what the enemy told them. Satan deceived them by saying, oh, but God is withholding from you. They believed it, so they turned their faith towards that word, again, away from God's word. And when they did, they made their allegiance to Satan, and that crown of glory and honor was taken off and given to them, given to Satan, and that is why he is the God of this world. Now, when Jesus comes back for a second time, he will permanently take authority back on this earth, and he will lock up Satan. But at this point in time, why do we need glory and honor? Why was that so imperative that it was won back at the cross? Because that was the original state that God had us in. He gave us his position and he gave us his authority. Adam and Eve gave it away, but Christ won it back at the cross. So by faith now, we can enter into the fullness of the cross. So I hope that these past couple messages have been encouraging to you, that it's not just salvation. Yes, that is the foundation of everything that we have. But really, it is more than that. It is that Christ is revealed through our lives by power, by authority, by wealth, by strength, by wisdom, by everything found in Revelations 5:12. And that is what I want you to focus on this Easter.
Paul Grant, his heart this week on the subject of the resurrection as we head toward Easter here. If you want to hear last week's show also kind of on this subject, you can go to legacyandfaith.com. You also have other resources at that website.
That's right. We talked a little bit about wealth and estate planning. It's what I do as my profession. So if you want any information about estate planning, about how to transfer your wealth appropriately, head over to legacyandfaith.com.
Great stuff always on the Legacy and Faith Show with estate and tax planning attorney Paul Grant on KCIS.
Thank you for joining us for the Legacy and Faith Show. You can find more information about the show and Paul Grant at legacyandfaith.com. Join us next week at the same time as we learn to build God's kingdom and continue our journey on how to protect wealth and family values for generations. All discussions on the Legacy and Faith Show are intended to be about general legal issues. If a situation applies to you, then we encourage you to seek specific legal advice. Please do not rely upon any discussions from this program in place of having a personal relationship with your attorney. Any listener question that may have been answered also does not constitute legal advice and does not establish a client-attorney relationship.